I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Free radicals are the root cause of all disease, rapid aging, heart disease, and even cancer. Antioxidants stop free radicals, and a new book discusses how you can utilize some treatments to improve your health. The book is called The Antioxidant Prescription, How to Use the Power of Antioxidants to Prevent Disease and Stay Healthy for Life. Its author, Bryce Wild, joins me now. He is one of the country's leading alternative health experts, a homeopathic doctor, and functional medicine nutritionist. He's also the director of the Vaughan Medical Center and hosts a highly rated weekly call-in program, Wild on Health, which can be seen on CP24 in Ontario. He also appears regularly on City TV's Breakfast Television. His website is drwild.com. That's spelled W-Y-L-D-E. The book is published by Random House and retails for $32.95. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Bryce Wild. Good morning, Dr. Wild.
Good morning, Joe, and thanks for that. That was a wonderful introduction.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. So I hope you're living a healthier, or plans for a healthier new year this year.
You know, when I read your book, and I must say I'm not the picture of health myself. Picking up your book, I started reading it, and I got overwhelmed by it. Do you find that a lot of people get overwhelmed by not just changing one's life, but just the information on how to do that?
I think it speaks volumes to the industry at large, and I think that's what everyone feels. And I think that, and I'm happy for the comment, and I'll twist it a bit on you here, and that's that I actually set it up in the beginning this way so as to give people a sense that there is an overwhelming amount of information out there. And here it all is, and here it's documented. But at the end of the day, what I tell people about is how to validate what they're doing, how to test themselves, for example, the chemical analytes that I provide people on the website, how to validate, test, debunk the junk, perhaps they're taking too many, too little in terms of the supplementation world. Just understand what they are doing and from a scientific form, validate it.
And just to begin here, what's the difference between sort of mainstream medicine that we're familiar with, or that most people are familiar with, and that which you practice, the alternative version?
Well, in fact, I think we need a bit of a, we are starting to see a bit of a paradigm shift, but more than that, we need to reverse this nomenclature, and that is to say, we need to start thinking about what alternative medicine really is. I believe alternative medicine needs to become mainstream. And what we need to consider is that, you know, conventional needs to become alternative because its focus is really in acute triage and life-saving techniques and in suppression methodology like pain treatment and killing offending agents. But and it's necessary. I hold mainstream medicine in highest regard. I think what they're doing is amazing. What they're not doing so well is with respect to prevention and treatment of chronic long-term disease. So although paradoxically we're living longer, we're not living longer in health, and we're not living longer well. So at the end of the day, alternative or functional medicine is all based within getting the body to work better. There's no miracle to natural medicine or functional medicine. It's simply giving the body the tools it requires to do what it should do on its own. And that inherently is the difference between a conventional and alternative focus.
So if I catch a cold, I can't go to you and say, fix me in a day.
Oh, absolutely you can, and there are measures of acute application of natural medicines that we will use, but in this case it would be to get your body working better on its own, to kill the virus faster, to kill off the bacteria, or help your body kill off the bacteria faster, recover faster, or possibly talk about ways in which you may not, or ways in which you should be getting sick less often by virtue of improving your lifestyle, your dietary routine, and perhaps even your stress levels, whereas to continue the analogy in conventional medicine, what they would do is give you a painkiller. You have a headache with that cold, take an anti-inflammatory. It's more of a suppressive nature. You have cough, let's suppress the cough, whereas now we're learning that dextromethorphan and cough syrups absolutely do nothing, possibly cause more harm than good. So suppression is not our ideal. In some cases, when you're in extreme amounts of pain, it's life-saving. Because too much pain, of course, causes a lot of stress, and that's not good either. So there's a place for both sides. But the point being that whenever you have an acute situation, there's absolutely still methods within natural medicine that are not only available, but very, very effective.
Help us understand this. Free radicals are what?
Well, without being too technical, at the most minute level of body physiology, they are, as I mentioned, the root of all disease. They're these charged little particles or electrons that can damage your DNA and other cells and tissues in us. And to, as I mentioned before, a small or limited degree, we actually rely on them so as to kill off bacteria or viruses But too many of them in our bodies cause whatever disease you might be predisposed to actually surface and express itself. So we know something about DNA. We know that with our genetic code, you can't change it. You're born and inherently have whatever mom and dad's given you. But you can change how your DNA expresses itself by mitigating toxic exposure or mitigating free radical activity in your body. And that is the very reason you want to increase your diet for antioxidants or supplement with antioxidants by virtue of your personal demand.
So antioxidants, they suppress the free radicals, or what?
Well, they keep them in balance. We don't want to suppress them entirely, but because of today's day and age, and you know, stress being, in my opinion, one of the North America's silent killers, and tons of toxins and all kinds of bad diets that are running rampant in our society, we are burdened with free radical load. And although we need a small amount of them, when they get too high, yeah, they mutate your DNA and they will cause you to express whatever disease you might be predisposed to a lot sooner than you otherwise should. And there's ways to thwart that using antioxidant support.
There's an analogy in the book of using an apple, and when you cut an apple.
That's right.
This is a quite vivid description of how this works.
Yeah, to use the analogy of an apple browning, it does so because of being exposed to oxygen. You see, oxygen is what causes oxidative stress, and that is a synonym for free radical activity. Oxidative stress is free radical activity, and it's what we want to slow down in order to maintain good health and living longer is the antioxidant support.
Now, antioxidants, you talked about what purpose they serve. Now, what's wrong with just pumping ourselves full of them? I guess you do have to seek a balance, do you?
It's interesting. There's been some great research and studies that are out and have been out for some time now on use of high-dose antioxidants out of proportion. And, for example, the vitamin E study done a few years ago by Johns Hopkins. Now, there's also some poor sort of aspects to that study. But at the end of the day, the message is if you take too much of a single antioxidant out of proportion, it can cause more harm than good. Even taking multiple antioxidants out of proportion can cause more harm than good. So it's all about balance. And then again, how do we know? Well, we've got to test ourselves, and that's part of the way in which we can determine whether or not we need more or less of the supplement world, or whether we actually require changing our lifestyles. You know, in the beginning of the show, you mentioned that, you know, you aren't necessarily a picture of health. Well, I can tell you, although it's a very significant exception to the rule, there are the George Burns of us out there, those people that live to 100 years old and, you know, smoke all day and drink scotch for lunch. But not most of us are that lucky. And so most of us have to worry about the free radical burden, which is, being exposed to each and every cell in our body on a daily basis. Using a network analogy in terms of antioxidants and in supplementation, you don't want to take too much of a good thing or too much vitamin A, certainly not on its own or in a synthetic form. But in order to neutralize these free radicals, antioxidants need to work like a team. And the analogy I use in this case is kind of like firemen putting out a fire. So there's some man at the front, pumper truck, some are up the ladder, and some are at the hose, and some even move right down close to the fire and into the flames and help victims out from smoke inhalation and so forth. That's what's going on at the level of your cells. But you can't get away with sending only one antioxidant, say vitamin E in this case, into the fray, because that would be like having all the firemen rush to the end of the hose with no one left to turn on the water. So they work in this synergistic network fashion. And so when studies come out saying, okay, well, you know, taking too much vitamin E on its own can cause harm, they're right, it can. And so what are you to do about it? And once again, the message is very clear in the book. You want to self-analyze by subjective and objective testing before you move on.
Now, when you read the book, you can sort of test yourself, can you?
Absolutely. And not only on paper, but also, through asking your doctor the various tests that I outline in the book to give you a better idea as to what your status of free radicals are. And I also provide an at-home urine analysis that people can get a hold of that judges their free radical levels on a simple morning urine void. It also looks at pH and vitamin C levels in their body, as well as stress levels. So
that's that kit in the back, right, that you can
right.
order?
Exactly, and they can order that online at theantioxidantprescription.com. And they can also ask their doctor, if their doctor is so inclined, to run some blood work. It's a lot more expensive, mind you, but it is a gold standard called 8-OHDG. And that's a blood test to determine free radical activity on your DNA. See, there aren't as many studies to show that antioxidants are the panacea or cure-all. That's not really my message, although they're a great tool. But if you believe, as does mainstream science, and of course a plethora of studies, that free radicals are involved in all disease, then the logic follows, and good science follows, that ramping up antioxidants in a network fashion to counterbalance them is a very good idea. You know, as well as I, infinite studies show that diets and, you know, high in fruits and vegetables are essential to good health, and more so this, you know, powerhouse antioxidant vitamin D has been touted to and proven to protect against all forms of cancer, improve immune function, and protect our bones and nervous system. But what it's doing is really lowering the free radical level. That's what it's doing. And so although the science is still coming as it relates to antioxidants, we know that at the molecular level, at the very level of every cell, of the trillions of cells in your body, free radicals are at the root of all disease.
I'm talking with Dr. Bryce Wild. The book is called The Antioxidant Prescription, $32.95 from Random House. One of the interesting things in the book was the fact that one can exercise too much.
Yes, and that's another thing we have to be, you know, again, the message is really balanced. And people, you know, to avoid the age-old rhetoric here, take more supplements, eat healthier, exercise. The point is that everyone's different. And what's right for you is very worthwhile studying. And how do you know, once again, by getting yourself tested, whether or not you have too many or too little free radicals, is the let's call it the common denominator. So what we know in science is that if you're a marathon runner, you accumulate more free radicals in your body than a couch potato does, okay? That's by virtue of the metabolic stress and inflammation on your body during extreme exercise. So extremes are no good, right? And in the book, I outline, in fact, I'm not the expert in exercise on a daily basis, but I don't consider myself the expert. So I got together with what I consider North America's best, Teresa Tapp, who's an exercise physiology out of Florida, and Bruce Cron, who's a CPT, an exercise fitness specialist out of Toronto. And they wrote the exercise chapter for me. It's a routine of non-inflammatory, very effective exercise the average person can do without even a gym membership. It will keep you healthy, trim the fat, keep the free radicals low, and not cause injury. When there's injury, free radicals reign. When you're not exercising, free radicals reign. So it's about the balance once again.
And there are diagrams in the book so you can see some of these exercises and what you can do.
That's right.
People like me who are somewhat visual, it's
yeah, the diagrams can be helpful, and Teresa Tapp's program outlines, you know, whether or not you're sitting in line or standing in line at the bank or in line at the shopping mall or walking, you know, strolling along the street, you can make those environments, you can actually exercise at the same time, kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, and make those make that time much more effective for you as it relates to keeping body physiology healthy.
Increasingly, we're tied to our cell phones, or they're glued onto ourselves all the time now. What does science say about whether that's dangerous or not?
Well, you know, I love this topic, and I was extremely interested in this. And in the book, I actually spoke to, I actually interviewed Dr. George Carlo. And Dr. George Carlo is a public health scientist, a trained epidemiologist and lawyer, and research and development director, who headed a $28.5 million wireless technology research project. And it ended in 2000, but not before some disturbing results emerged. He actually found evidence of health risk and biological damage caused by interference with cellular repair processes in our body, which is attributable to cell phone radiation exposure. What that means is that cells get disturbed by this 900 megahertz or so range, enough so to consider that there might be a virus or bacteria that's invaded and start to attack. However, there's nothing there. So what it does is it starts to attack adjacent tissue. Now, once again, the common denominator of how it's attacking is by use of free radicals, these sort of bullets that it fires off into sort of nowhere, and it hits the adjacent tissue or other cells, causing major damage and even damage to the DNA. So, you know, it's speculated that right now, it's beyond speculation. In fact, science is starting to really pay attention to they're starting to make it public not to let children use cell phones. And in particular, this process I described at the cellular level starts to happen after about 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds. And then the body starts to recognize there's something foreign. Now, the next time you use your cell phone, and then the next time and the next time, it starts to mount that same defense process and cause everything that you might be predisposed to in that area. Speculatively, everything from, you know, inflammation through to cancer.
What about Wi-Fi? Everyone seems to have Wi-Fi in their homes, and we go to places, coffee shops and so on. They have them there.
Right. So this is called, what people want to know about is what they should know about is what's called a plume of radiation. So there's a concentrated or focused area that's been studied from the source, in this case your cell phone or the original source of emanence of that signal. Now, we are bombarded by background radiation. There's solar radiation, there's background radiation common to our environment, things we've dealt with for millions and millions of years. But when there's a source, such as an electric or Wi-Fi in this case, or cell phone, depending on the megahertz of that frequency, it is the center of the source that makes the difference. So even with your cell phone, apparently, you know, 3 to 4 feet away from your body is much less harmful, if at all, compared to it being close to your head, hip, waist, whatever. So it's the plume of radiation. Every inch or so that you move that cell phone away drops the exposure of the radiation exponentially.
Now, antioxidant-rich foods. Now,
yes.
You said we should seek a balance. We shouldn't really bombard ourselves with them. But what's something that's good for us to eat that we could probably just incorporate rather than something that we already use in our diets?
Well, ORAC-rich foods, or oxygen radical absorbance capacity is what the acronym stands for, ORAC. You can't have enough of those in your diet. You should staple your diet with these foods. I'll explain what they are in a second. It's really supplements that you don't want to necessarily overdo, because that becomes therapeutics. You want to find a balance in them. Now, you might be excited to learn that chocolate, coffee, and even red wine is back in a big way. And they're validated scientifically to have some of the highest ORAC value or antioxidant value found within them. And what this means, of course, is always in moderation, is that if you incorporate these things into your diet, and that doesn't mean that coffee has to be caffeinated. It's simply from the bean itself. It also doesn't mean you have to start drinking wine if you're already not, and in moderation. 1 for women, 2 for men per day, no more. You could drink grape juice of high ORAC value. So berries have gained high reputation for ORAC value. They're learning about elderberries now having a very high ORAC value. But what we've learned recently is things like red beans, small red beans, have tremendously high ORAC value. Sage, cumin, turmeric, curry, spices to be incorporated in your food. In fact, eating a teaspoon of mustard every single day reduces inflammation in the joints and tissues in the body. So it's just trying to create a staple diet high in these antioxidant foods that will, as a basic sort of starting point, reduce free radical load in the body.
Pomegranate juice?
Absolutely.
Do you drink that regularly, do you?
I don't, personally. I like it. I don't necessarily incorporate it into a daily routine. I like to switch up my juices and foods, for that matter. You know, people have to realize, too, there's a sugar value to these things, and unless you can get them, fresh is always best, but they are great for antioxidant support. I should admit, however, I do have 1 or 2 glasses of red wine, probably 4 to 5 days a week. And there's some scientific study to validate the use of that. That's not for everybody. We have to recognize individual, you know, characteristics. Certainly if you have alcohol dependency that runs in the family, or you have some kind of liver disease or are taking certain medications, you don't want to start drinking wine. But at the end of the day, incorporating more of these higher ORAC value foods and some of these juices, like you mentioned, small amounts, is imperative to good health.
Now, I'm 26 years old, and I look at the cover of the book, and I suspect you're older than I am, but you look much younger than I am, certainly. And one of the things you talk about in the book is anti-aging, the things that one can do. What do you suggest? How do you keep young?
Well, it's a routine. It's a lifestyle, right? So, and this is the whole message of the book. It's not one thing. There's no miracle pill. People have to stop looking at that. We're indoctrinated with the belief that, you know, we have to feel sick before we get treatment. That's not true. We should be always proactive, and that's what I'm doing. And I mean, being proactive, understanding what lies deep within my genetic code by virtue of doing genetic analysis on myself, as well as looking at my family history and being very, very scrupulous in determining what it is I have to look out for and what things there are out there in order to mitigate or prevent those things from turning on in my body. So I paid very close attention to all of those things and act upon them on a daily basis. Now, I can say everybody should be, you know, incorporating a stress reduction program in their life, no matter who they are. It's going to benefit everyone because of today's day and age. So that's the one thing I do every single day, and that I think is making or keeping me younger from the inside out. And that's a stress reduction program based in what I term functional meditation. And functional meditation is all about you know, forecasting of events. And so a lot of us have anxiety and stress simply because of our false expectations of what is to come. And so what I try to explain to people is reordering that thought process and realizing that, you know, most of us just simply live off of our preconceived notions instead of simple work, which takes 5 or 10 minutes a day to recreate our future and live by that more ideal outcome that would become much less stressful to us. And that in and of itself will reduce inflammation and free radical load in the body.
Dr. Wild, it's been informative, and as has the book. Thanks for joining us today.
Joe, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome, and thank you. The book is called The Antioxidant Prescription, How to Use the Power of Antioxidants to Prevent Disease and Stay Healthy for Life. $32.95 from Random House Canada. DrWild.com is the website. Dr. Bryce Wild on the line. I'm
three times in the